And with that, we are going to ask Cindy to come up and to bring the message to us.
That's good. Yay! Are you surprised to hear Mary J. Blige singing with us this morning? Real love. I mean, I'm searching for a real love, someone to set my heart free, a real love. And that's what we really need, isn't it? A real love in our lives. And, you know, I was surprised yesterday morning as that song was actually ringing in my heart before I even woke up completely. And that's really unusual for me because, you know, I don't listen to a lot of music, especially in my time off, because, as you know, I'm surrounded with music with my husband. And so I really cherish quiet. And but that song was just playing for me as if the Lord was like waking me in it. And I started thinking about his real love in my life and how friendship with him has been so foundational. And he has been a true friend throughout my life, someone so personal I can just reach out to at any moment and just call on his presence through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has given me his real love, a companionship, a fellowship, a comfort, and a care, the security of loyalty. I have found a friend in Jesus, like the old hymn says. And so as an introduction to today, a tender friend, and this message and some review, I just want to share with you how the gift of friendship has been something I've been really blessed to have in my life, not only vertically, but also horizontally. And deep, authentic friendships are built on a multiple strong foundations, but one of those is friendship. And so relationships need lots of foundations, but friendship is one of them. And so friendship is a powerful source of life and peace and well-being for us. And it's meant to be relaxed and comfortable and enjoyable. And one such relationship that needs friendship at its foundation is marriage. A good, healthy marriage always has the bond of friendship at its core. A marriage needs numerous foundational virtues to thrive, of course, but one of those truly meaningful qualities is authentic friendship. And we need deep friendship, you know, and with that deep friendship, you just seem to know where the other is emotionally, don't you? You don't always have to explain yourself. You can just be yourself. Give and receive the goodness of the other in the moment. And having time together to just be is vital for friendship and marriage. And as for me, I have a tender friend, a lifelong companion in Jude, and that is something I really cherish. And on our 30th wedding anniversary, which is actually 15 years ago, Jude and I were blessed to be in Ireland, and then we went on to Scotland to perform a wedding ceremony. Actually, it was an anniversary, 25th anniversary of our dear friends, Brad and Laura Richardson, who Ashley, who was doing the welcome this morning, those are her parents. We've been very close friends since Ashley was a little girl, actually. And that's Johan's wife, Pastor Johan's wife. But while we were in Galway, Ireland, Jude bought me a clatter ring. And we talked about us sharing our vows together secretly in Scotland because we love Scotland. The land of Scotland has meant a lot to us. So the clatter ring is There are lots of beautiful clatterings, but this is kind of the one I have. And it has a lot of beautiful symbolism in it. It's designed to include two hands that are clasped around a heart with a crown. And each of these elements has its own meaning. The hands represent friendship. The heart symbolizes true love. And the crown is for loyalty. And there's this old Irish saying, when you give a clatterine, with these hands, I give you my heart and I crown it with my love. That's the loyalty. And then in this case, like mine, you have the eternity knots on it. And so that's the beautiful ring I have here. So you can go on to the next slides, but here we're sharing our vows overlooking Loch Lomond, and it was very enchanting and so intimate. Wait a minute, that's not in order. then we shared our vows together and we shared communion. It was really intimate. It was a real love founded. That's what it's been, real love founded on friendship, love, and loyalty. And it's meant to be long lasting. You can go to the next one. That's our communion set. That piece of glass is actually from Ireland. It's 100 years old. And we were taking communion, thinking about long-lasting relationships. Okay. Go to the next slide. There you go. And true friendship always includes fun. Laughter and adventure are a must with Jude. Here he is, the Scotsman. They called him Chubby Cheeks. And next slide. Here he is as the clergyman for Brad and Laura. Here we are in Loch Lomond. We're in the base of the castle ruins there, and it was just beautiful. And we have a lifetime of friendship with Brad and Laura, and it's truly a beautiful blessing to have that. And God values friendship. Okay, that's good. He created friendship, and he shared that kind of friendship with his creation from the beginning with Adam and Eve walking in the cool of the garden together, and with Abraham. God, you know, he was treated as a friend of God, sharing that bond of empathy as a father with a heart, you know, wrenching saga in love there. Those were suffering through that torture and the thought of sacrificing their only sons. Abraham was considered a friend of God. And then King David spoke abundantly about his relationship with God as friend and confidant in the Psalms, you know. But if you are in Christ, you have a friend, a lifelong friend, a tender friend, a friend who in sorrow will never lob a pep talk down at you, is one of the comments. I loved that. He cannot bear to hold himself at distance. His heart is for you. His heart is bound up with yours. Nothing can hold him back from drawing near to you. And I think it's this time that we've been taking and the tension to dive into the heart of Jesus has really been a glorious time for us. I think it's really timely, actually, in our community. This book by Dane Ortlund, Gentle and Lowly, it's been a beautiful reminder to us for who our God is at the very core and what his nature is and how he responds to us. And our foundational scripture is actually in Matthew 28, and we won't put it up there now because we're going to, but when you read it, it's come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you. Learn from me, because I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest again for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is what the one thing that Jesus says about himself. And so when reviewing some of the previous teachings we've been going through, I've really been struck by that invitation. Come, just come, he says. I mean, and this is Jesus. the second in the Trinity of the Godhead. I mean, we're talking creator of the universe. Our heavenly Lord and Savior is calling us to come to him. And that's been our theme. Come and engage all his characteristics, but mostly just come and know his heart for you, that he's approachable, that he's available, that the only requirement is for you to be burdened and a sinner in need. I like that. It's not transactional. You don't have to offer him something to receive anything. Just come. He's drawn to our need. He doesn't need us to be clean to be near him. Our uncleanness doesn't make him unclean. Actually, his cleanness cleanses us as we come and we confess our sins and we cry out our need for him. He's our intercessor, our advocate, our high priest, as David was preaching last week. He stands for us and defends us. And he prays for us. He knows exactly how we feel and how painful life is. He's perfectly able to feel everything we feel as a co-sufferer. He sympathizes with us as only a perfect God can. Now that's my introduction, so get ready. That's our introduction to today. This week, we're considering the theme of divine friendship with God. Here, his heart takes shape as our never-failing friend. Jesus calls his disciples friends. And in John 15:15, we have that slide. On the very verge of going to the cross, Jesus is opening up to his disciples. He's no longer calling them servants. He tells them, no longer do I call you servants, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. No longer servants. He's calling them friends. Have you ever just needed a friend? I mean, someone who would just be there for you? Someone you could bear your soul to? A trustworthy friend whom you could share your deepest pain and hurt with without feeling fearful of being judged or criticized? We all need friendship. We all need someone we can lean on when things get rough. When the waters are raging, you know, and we feel like we just can't go on. The open heart of a loyal friend can soothe the deepest wounds and comfort a trampled soul. I found that. They bring a much needed shoulder to cry on when all seems lost. All of us need a tender friend at times in our lives. And friendship is vital for human flourishing. It's significant on a horizontal level, and it's vital on a vertical level with God. So enjoying friendship with God is a reality needed for our humanity to flourish. I mean, we are being squashed at every turn. Can you feel it? But we need to enjoy friendship with God. It's a reality we need for our humanity to flourish. And so for that to happen, it requires time. Having friendship requires engagement, which takes time to be together. So that's when Jesus, out of Matthew 11, our main scripture we've been using, he says, come, just come. I'm calling you. Come, be with me. I love what it says. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy and burdened. I'm reading it again. And I will give you rest. I will give you time. Take my yoke on me and learn from me, because I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Johann talked about that yoke. It's a yoke of kindness. And all are welcome. It says, come to me, all who are weary. And in case you don't think Jesus cares to be with you, let's consider who he hung out with. A few verses before this, Jesus is a friend to sinners. Jesus actually being accused of being a friend to tax collectors and sinners. It's an indictment, a label that's contemptible to some. This is what's being lobbed out. You're a friend of sinners in a very contemptible way. Might be contemptible to some, but for many of us, that message is a welcomed comfort. I fit in. Luke 15 says that many sinners were drawing near to Jesus to hear him. They couldn't stay away from him. They were at ease around him. They sensed something different about him. And I like what Ortlund says in the book here. His quote is, others hold these contemptible ones at arm's length, but Jesus offers the enticing intrigue of hope. What he's really doing here, he's pulling them into his heart. And so friendship with God is safe. I mean, who in our lives do we really feel safe with? Safe enough to open up everything. Another quote I like in the book here, he says, here is the promise of the gospel and the message of the whole Bible. In Jesus Christ, we are given a friend who will always enjoy rather than refuse our presence. Wow. This is a companion whose embrace of us does not strengthen or weaken depending on how clean or how unclean, how attractive or how revolting, how faithful or how fickle we presently are. His friendliness of heart is fixed and stable. He's not leaving. I love that passage in John 6:37. I don't know if we have that slide up, but it says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes, I will never cast out. I will never reject. In Revelations 3, we see a depiction of the risen Christ standing at the door of a group of Christians who are what? Wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, naked, destitute. And in Revelations 3:20, it's describing Jesus saying, he's saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, what will Christ do? He says, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. That is a description of sweet fellowship. And Jesus wants to come in to wretched me and you and enjoy meals together and spend time and deepen relationship. This is the risen Christ speaking. And why? For our enjoyment. And as with any good friend, you don't need to constantly fill up all the gaps of silence with words. You know, when you're spending time with the Lord, sometimes you feel like you have to do some or say something. But with a friend, sometimes you're just being together. You can just be warmly present together, enjoying each other's company. Shared communion is actually the soul of all true friendship. I felt that in my life with my friends. There's a healing just being together. Quoting out of the book, I like what he says, though. You should not overly domesticate Jesus here. He's not just any friend. In fact, a few chapters before in Revelation, We see a depiction of Christ so overwhelming to John that he falls down completely immobilized. The holiness of God, the awesomeness of Jesus. But neither should we dilute his humanness. The pure relational desire is clearly present in these words from the very mouth of the risen Christ himself. So he isn't waiting for us to trigger his heart. He is already standing at the door, knocking, wanting to come in. And friendship is vulnerable. I mean, not only do true friends pursue you, but they allow you to pursue them. Open themselves up without holding anything back. It's vulnerable. And in that same passage in John 15 that we were reading, on the verge, just think of this, on the verge of Jesus going to the cross, I mean, I'm talking crucifixion, he begins to open himself up. He says, no longer are you servants, but friends. He tells them, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. He's vulnerable. Jesus' friends are those to whom he's opened up his with his deepest purposes. He's sharing his deepest purposes with them. And he tells them everything. He doesn't hold anything back. He lets them completely in. And I don't know about you, but when I'm in pain, in fear, in anxiety, I'm like this, you know, I'm like, not now. I'm trying to deal with something really heavy. But that's not Jesus. Companion is actually another word for friend. But it specifically suggests the idea of someone who goes on a journey. As we make our pilgrimage through this world, we have a steady, constant friend. And Jesus heals our aloneness with his companionship. I love thinking of him as being that bridegroom to the bride. That kind of presence. It's a two-way relationship of joy and comfort, of openness and mutuality. And in friendship, there is a mutual honor and a respect of one another. It's a thoughtful relating to one another. And I love some of these passages in King David's lyrics and songs that he's singing in the Psalms. You know, he always speaks of this kind of dependence and mutuality, crying out, speaking to God as friend and companion. In this Psalm, Psalm 63:8, you know, David's actually in the wilderness of Judah, and he's crying out, and the way he's speaking it, it's as if in partnership, in connection. He says, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. He's reaching out. He's holding on, and he's not letting go. It's a sure grasp. And Jesus relates to us as a person. He's not the idea of friendship or an abstract thing. He's an actual friend. He's with us. He's one of us, sharing in our life experience. And the love and the comfort are then enjoyed by both. There's an exchange. He walks with us through every moment, and he's loyal. He's loyal all the way. He never deceives. And so while Jesus befriended the disciples and embraced them into his heart, he began to tell them something they're gonna need. In John chapters 14 through 16, we see Jesus explaining to his disciples the work of the Holy Spirit. as an extension of his own work, he says that the Spirit is a superior blessing to his people. He says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go. For if I do not go, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. If I go, I will send him to you, the Helper. He's a person of the Trinity, the third person. It's not ethereal. It's a person. And so the Holy Spirit is the answer for how Jesus can leave us bodily while leaving his heart behind. The Spirit is the continuation of the heart of Christ for his people after his ascension into heaven. And so Jesus helps him understand the Holy Spirit causes us to actually feel Christ's heart for us. And I love this passage in 1 Corinthians 2. What we have received is not, this is Paul speaking, and he's saying, what we've received is not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. And that word, actually a different translation, but that word to understand is to know. Oida, it is an experiential knowing. It's not all here. There's an experiential knowing with the Spirit. And Paul is saying that the Spirit has been given us in order that we might know way deep down inside that endless grace of the heart of God. I mean, who can know that anyway? But the Spirit. We're convinced by his Spirit. And the Spirit loves nothing more than to awaken and calm and soothe us with that heart knowledge of what we've been graced with, like to know deeply. And I'm so thankful for my own experience with the Holy Spirit, that knowing that convinces me every day of the knowledge of Christ. You know, even since I was 7 years old, of whom God is and that salvation. I thank God when I prayed to receive him, I felt his presence come in. And that promise that he would never leave me or forsake me was there. But at every turn in the journey of my life, when I've doubted, it's the Spirit that bears witness with my spirit of life. I just want to call the worship team to come forward now. And we're going to begin to have a time of communion and prayer. And Johan will lead us in this communion, but this is actually a time for us to embrace the heart of Jesus. It's a personal time for us to reflect on that very nature of Jesus and his sacrifice. He made a way for us. And then the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives to experience that work of salvation and incarnation. And so may we enjoy and just receive divine friendship with God today. That's my heart. That's our message today through this little book we've been using. So I'll let you.